Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Welcome to this bonus episode of Alcohol Free Life podcast. You know, I thought I'd just do an extra episode. Well, a couple of reasons, really. One, because there's so much in the news about the fact that Britons are drinking more because of lockdown. I mean, this is no surprise, but it's finally hit the news. And I actually wanted to bring you a good news story because there isn't much of that around at the moment. Everything is fear. Everything is out there to kind of make people feel more fearful. And I just thought, wouldn't it be good just to actually, instead of fear, bring you a happier story? So that's one reason. And the other reason is because I wanted to share this with you before the Sober Club closes, because we're closing the doors for a while on September the 17th. And just thought you might want to hear from one of our members. So it's a lovely opportunity to just do this little extra podcast where I interview one of our Sober Club members. Her story totally speaks for itself, so I won't do too much preempting. Safe to say, she is, you know, she has a lockdown legacy of getting sober. How cool is that? If you are listening to this and you're thinking, oh, if only that were me, it's never too late. Of course it isn't. Just do it now. Don't be one of those statistics that have, you know, completely gone off the rails, waiting for alcohol services to pick you up. You don't have to be at rock bottom before you stop drinking. I wish that were the message that were going out across the, you know, every news channel right now. You know, that we're being told how terrible it is that people have been drinking more. Of course, it's understandable. People have been under massive stress, and we're told that there isn't enough funding in alcohol services. Absolutely agreed, there isn't. But why isn't anybody saying, you know, there is another way? You can actually make a choice and ditch the booze before you hit rock bottom. How cool would that be? Anyways, enjoy this bonus episode and this piece with Dominique. So I'm really pleased to be able to chat to a Sober Club member, Dominique McManus. And Dominique has just been so inspiring to us all with her little journey over the last few months that I thought it would be lovely to bring her onto the podcast, not least because she's one of the people who've managed to rocket sober through lockdown. So welcome, Dominique.
Hi, Janie. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's lovely to chat to you. And I mean, let's just start with that amazing, an amazing big up to you. How does that feel that you managed to ditch the booze and that's your lockdown legacy?
Well, great, actually, to be honest. And I think a lot of people have said that, you know, we'll look back in time and say, you know, what did you do in lockdown? And I think that I'm really proud to be able to say, well, amongst other things, I ditched the booze.
Yeah, totally. Tell us a little bit about your background then, because the other thing that's unique about you is that you've been living and working in the Bahamas. So you've had a few interesting things go on over the last few months. But just take us back and tell us a bit more about the, you know, the kind of the drinking story and what made you decide to finally take the plunge.
Okay, well, I have spent almost the last 3 years working in the Bahamas, as you said. I'm a florist by trade, and my job here is as an a floral designer for an event company. For lots of people come here to get married on the beach, that type of thing, as well as big events and corporate things. It's a very stressful job, but also that combined with living an expat lifestyle, which I didn't realize till I went away, was very social and
quite boozy.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, everything kind of centers around eating and drinking, should we say. And don't get me wrong, I always liked to go out and socialize at home, but there was no boundaries really. And it's a bit like when people go away on holiday and it doesn't matter if it's Monday or Tuesday when you're away in the sunshine, because you kind of excuse yourself. And sometimes the lifestyle can be a bit like that. Well, when you live on an island that's 21 miles by 7, there isn't much else to do outside of work. And social things evolved around drink, and before you know it, there could be something going on every night of the week.
Yeah. So when did it start to kind of occur to you that maybe it wasn't the best idea?
Well, I think that I'd kind of questioned drinking even before I left to go to the Bahamas. Like I think a lot of us do. You get to an age where you can't cope with a hangover, and that's kind of waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning after you've had a boozy night out with friends, or, you know, a girl's night in with Prosecco or whatever. But I think that it started to, I started to think that it becomes harder to handle a very stressful job and a creative job when you need your creative mojo when you have had a late night and, you know, fueled with booze, which then sometimes actually then you get through the day and then you reward yourself again by doing exactly the same thing. Yeah. And I started to think, do you know what? I don't really think this is really good for me as a sort of lifestyle choice.
Yeah. So what was going on for you then at that point? How did you think about setting about ditching the booze? I'm guessing you listened to some of my podcasts at that point, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was interesting because I saw a cousin who must be sort of late 20s, early 30s, had posted something on Instagram saying the unexpected joy of being sober 40 days. And she looked fantastic. And she is a proper party girl. And when I kind of questioned a few family members, it was she'd read the book, The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober, and had kind of quit the booze. And I thought, well, wow, if she can do that, I can do that. And I read the book by Catherine Gray. And then that kind of, you then become really sober curious. And it was then that I found your podcast and thought, well, actually, these are a bunch of normal people like me who actually think, do you know what? There's nothing wrong in saying I think I drink too much and I want to stop.
Mm, yeah. And I know the phrase grey area drinkers sort of resonated with you as well, when you realise that you don't actually have to be at rock bottom before you do something about it.
No, that's it. Because I think we've all had a look at these like quizzes online where you say, oh, do I drink too much? Am I an alcoholic? And I knew that, you know, it was something I'd given up before. I'd done Sober October and you know, Dry January and all of those things. But when I think the podcast I listened to where you described it as grey area drinkers, it was such a relief to know that if it actually had a terminology, then there was other people like me. It wasn't just me. And that, yeah, it perfectly described the fact that, you know, it was like one glass of wine wasn't enough. You know, or one was too many and two wasn't enough kind of thing. And it was in some ways a relief to realize that there were lots of other people who felt the same way that I did about their drinking.
Yeah. So were you particularly nervous about doing this, and how did you go about it? You know, what was the kind of process for you?
Yes, really nervous, because you talk about sober shaming and, you know, like I'd always been the party girl, you know, the last one to leave and just one more and whatever. And my kind of whole social circle revolved around a club that I joined, that a running club that said that we are a drinking club with a running problem. Yeah. So, you know, beer and drinking, I mean, we'd go out and run, but then we'd drink beer. And it was a big part of life. And I was really nervous about, were you worried that people think that you've stopped drinking because you've got some massive problem, not that you actually chose to drink, not to drink? A bit like, you know, you'd say that years ago, people would say, what, you want to be a vegan? What's the matter with you? Kind of thing. So the way I got around it is I'd read also about Belle Roberts and her Tired of Thinking About Drinking, where she challenged people to do 100 days sober, because if you do 30 days, you're counting the days till when you can drink again almost.
Yeah.
But she says that if you do 100 days, chances are you won't want to look back. And so I just told everybody that I was doing a challenge.
Yeah.
100 days sober challenge. And initially people said something, but then after that, nobody questioned it.
Right. And did you find it hard at the beginning?
Yes, I think, well, we were in lockdown.
Yeah.
So what was really bizarre, and one of the things, the beginning of lockdown, because in the Bahamas, you can't buy booze in a food, in a supermarket, you have to buy it from a liquor store, and the government shut all the liquor stores. So there was kind of like country-wide pandemonium of people panicking about running out of booze. So everybody kind of stocked up, and then I decided to quit, and I was living in an apartment with another expat that was stacked full of booze, cases of beer and etc. And yes, but not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And I was only 3 days in, I think, when I joined your sober club. And I think I'd only be, I think it was the day I joined or the day after you had a Zoom. And I met so many lovely people online who suddenly I thought, well, actually, do you know what? If these people can do this, I can do this.
There is something really magical, isn't there, about that connection with like-minded people, particularly if your own setting, you know, your partner, your family, the people you're surrounded with, they don't necessarily feel the same way at this point. You know, they might in the future. So I think being able to have those conversations with like-minded people is really key, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you, like you said, that, you know, the opposite of addiction is connection. And just, and what's, I mean, I was 5 hours time difference away from those people in the UK, but because there were so many people on the group all over the world, it was almost like any time of the day or night, you could post something if you weren't feeling great, or you know, you felt like wine was the answer, and somebody would come back and say, no, don't do that, you know, you don't want to do it. It's and feeling like and actually accountability as well, that's a great thing, because you think, well, how do I want to tell these new sober friends of mine that actually, you know what, I had a drink, you're all like, you're all going for it and trying really hard, and I gave in and had a drink. I didn't want to be that person. So
yeah, definitely. The accountability is key as well. I mean, what was lovely for us in the Sober Club watching your journey, you know, as you were sort of posting messages, was of course that, you know, well, I think first of all, you were concerned, I know, about how you would have sort of social events when they started happening again, or with you, with the other expats. And I think we kind of coached you through that, didn't we? Some of the things that you might say and making sure you're prepared and all of that. But in addition, of course, you have had some challenges to face that the rest of us haven't. So just tell us about some of those.
Yes, I mean, you're right. I had, we were in total lockdown, and then in June, they kind of relaxed things, and it was my birthday. And lots of people have said, have written about avoiding social situations. And then, so of course, me being me, decided to throw a birthday party for myself, which seemed a bit crazy, but I actually managed to do that with you guys, taught me through it, and I prepped for it, and nobody actually knew I wasn't drinking, really. So that was, but then on the reverse of that, we also had to deal with hurricane in lockdown, the power going out. Then I had my mum in the UK was in hospital, and then looking to try and return with no repatriation flights, and then managing to book flights and then flights being cancelled. So all of those kind of things, I think in the past, I would have coped with by, you know, opening a bottle of Chardonnay.
Exactly. I mean, I think that was what was so fascinating, watching what was going on for you. I remember when it was it just a few weeks ago, there was all of a sudden you had a second lockdown coming, didn't you? And then just tell us what happened, because that was, I'm laughing. It wasn't funny at all. But just reading your posts about the fact that you were in a second lockdown, and if you didn't have any food, you were making jokes about you were going to be living on toast. And then just tell us what happened over that,
well, that
whole
was it.
Experience.
I mean, the thing is, the thing was, it was like we'd been in total lockdown, and then we were, things were kind of, restrictions were lifted slightly, which meant you were allowed out for 3 hours a day to exercise, but you had to get up at 4:30 in the morning because you're only allowed out between 5 and 8, and then you could shop on certain days of the week, but obviously you had to queue, and mask wearing has been compulsory since March, whatever, anyway. So, but then we were starting to feel like we had a bit more freedom. And then without, what had happened was they opened the country up, the borders up, but said anybody coming into the Bahamas from the US had to have a COVID test.
Yeah.
But what they did allow was Bahamians to travel to the US without one. So suddenly our borders opened, and a week later we went from having no COVID cases to a number of COVID cases. So without any notice, the Prime Minister shut the country down again. With immediate effect. So it was basically for a whole week, and the food stores were shutting, everywhere was shutting apart from the pharmacy and the hospital. So if you didn't have any food, you didn't have any food for a week.
And you said that you were worried about people not having booze as well, that there were lots of people.
The thing is, because up until then, when we'd come out of lockdown and they opened the liquor stores, then it was only curbside delivery. So so you'd have to pull up at the liquor store and collect. So there was messages all over WhatsApp where there was people weren't worrying about where they were going to get food from. They were worried about where they were going to get booze from, which actually I remember posting that, well, it was such a relief to know that that wasn't something I even had to worry about anymore.
Yeah.
But yes, I did. I remember posting on the group, this week I will mostly be eating toast, because I was all I had in. And I think other members were giving me suggestions of what I could do with my toast.
So after you did eventually manage to get a flight, because again, we all had literally were sort of sitting there with bated breath, hoping that that was going to work for you. You finally did manage to get back to the UK. So tell us some of the benefits then for you. You know, when you now look back on that intense period, how have you changed, and what are some of the benefits of sobriety? Just sell it for us, Dominique.
Anxiety for a start. I mean, I've always been a worrier, and the anxiety with, particularly when I was working and then being in lockdown, was sometimes my anxiety would be off the scale. But since quitting the booze, it almost like disappears. It's crazy how you think that you're feeling stressed, and so you think, oh, I'll have a glass of wine and that'll sort me out, which out actually realizing that that is the problem. That's what's causing the anxiety. Or things like sleep. I've never, ever been a good sleeper, or thought I wasn't a good sleeper, and never been able to sleep all night. But that didn't take long at all till I was sleeping through the night. And I know one of the other ladies who joined the Sober Club at the same time as I did, that was her battle, sleeping, which she, you know, overcame. But yeah, sleeping was a big thing. But even you just look better. I felt like I kept looking in the mirror thinking, I actually look younger. And are the whites of my eyes really that white? And just simple things like more energy, feeling more optimistic, being able to look at things from a positive perspective, and even going through a hurricane. Last year when we went through Hurricane Dorian that devastated parts of the Bahamas, people tend to batten down the hatches and have a, you know, hurricane party, which just means loads of booze, which if you then, when you're coming down from that, the anxiety levels are awful. This time going through a hurricane, I kind of sat there and rode it out, really. And I think I was messaging all the time on the Sober Club, people going, are you still there, Tom? And I'm like, yes, I'm here, I'm fine. I'm just journaling, I'll be fine. But just feeling like I've had a second chance of life now. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel, if I'm perfectly honest, without it sounding all a bit melodramatic. I do feel like I wish I'd done this years ago.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I love that, Dominique. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. It's so inspiring for other people. And it is, you know, it really is that thing of, my goodness, you've been through all of that and you've ditched the booze and come out feeling amazing. What would be your sort of one top tip for people then, or your one last thought you'd like to leave with anyone who's thinking, no, it's too hard, I can't do it?
It's worth it. It's so worth it. And that's the only thing I say. Anybody even thinking about it is just go for it, and don't put it off till next week thinking, well, I'll start on Monday, or I'll just finish the wine that's in the fridge. Just do it now. You won't look back. Honestly, it's the best thing that I ever did for myself.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you all the best, Dominique. And I know you have, you know, lots of an exciting future. We don't even know exactly what it holds yet, but there's something magical about that too. So you'll have to come back on and, you know, at some point and tell us what the next phase of your life brings for you. And I'm just so thrilled for you that you're such a, you know, amazing poster girl, really, for going through adversity and rocking it sober through lockdown. So well done you. Thank you
Jenny, and can I just say that thank you to you and for the Sober Club, because I think that, you know, the single biggest thing that helped me, and I'm sure will help me going forward, and I feel like I've made some friends with people that I've connected with, and, you know, I look forward to the next part, my next journey, you know, with these people in my life. So thank you.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
So make sure you let me know. I think I'll do a series of lockdown sober legacies. I'd love to know your story. If you're struggling, absolutely reach out for help. And just a reminder that the Sober Club closes for new members on the 17th, midnight on the 17th. And this is just so we can onboard our lovely new members. We've got some new features to introduce. We will open up again at some point, but join us now if now's the right time for you. It's not very much money. You know, it's a small monthly cost, but there is masses of resources there. Really, really masses and masses. Get the buzz without the booze is our online course. There's regular coaching in there. We have regular catch-ups and Zoom sessions. Obviously, we've got a private community as well, and just input from so many different experts across all kinds of elements, really, of how you're going to want to feel when you ditch the booze, looking at nutrition and fitness and relationships and purpose and mindset. If you do decide to join us before the end of the 17th of September, we've got some fabulous little goodies as well to throw in. Mindfulness for Releasing Anxiety. That's a great hypnosis audio by Glenn Harold. And De-Stress Your Life, a meditation by Elsa Frank. And then there's my new Sober Club Clean Eating Plan, because as you'll hear me say so many times, nutrition is really key in those early weeks. So check it out, thesoberclub.com. Obviously, message me if you have any questions. Make sure you follow me on social media. And watch this space for what happens for Dominique next. Don't forget to get in touch as well, at Janie Lee Grace on pretty much everything. And I'll see you same time as usual for our regular podcast, where I'm going to be interviewing Kate and Mandy, authors of Love Yourself Sober. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.